And the background music there of Larry Rezavi and his Out of Town Checks with our theme Musicians Come and Play means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Program number 217 in that continuing series. You're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of Central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2 and 107.7 on your FM dial. Broadcasting from the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council studios, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, we are Chasm. And our theme wrapping up right there, Larry Rezavi and his out-of-town checks with Musicians Come and Play. And, our 217th edition, we have our guest in the studios, and we're going to say good morning to Mr. Travis Rahmacher. Travis, how are you?
Oh, pretty good, Si. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And I understand you were making some music in church this morning.
Yep. For the first time, I was asked to play the music for the Mass at St. Anthony Catholic Church over in St. Anthony. That's my parish. And, yeah, very exciting. I know, like I said earlier, I was the most nervous I've ever been, but very welcoming parish, of course, and everybody loved it and gave me a good shot to start off. So I really appreciate everybody coming and praising with me or whatever. So.
And how did you get hooked up with that?
Actually, our new priest, Father Edward, contacted me and reached out to me or whatever. He's like, I've heard some people talking that you're a astounding musician or one that's up and coming or whatever, and he's like, how would you like to play some music for Mass once a month or something like that? I'm like, well, I don't know. I mean, I've never really given it too much of a thought, but I was like, give it a go. I love playing acoustic guitar. I would say it's probably my favorite instrument to play, and of course, religion's always been a big part of my life, so why not join the two? So that's
how
I got it. And then now here we are, whatever, a couple hours later.
Yeah, and solo too yet, huh?
Yes, solo.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. Yes. I mean, you know, it's just something we perform over time in front of large crowds. You were just recently at Rock the Prairie.
Yep.
And you don't get nervous. You don't think anything of it. But boy, put you in church all by yourself on a hot spot. And it's amazing how those emotions can get a hold of you.
There was one guy that came up to me once I was done. He's like, yeah, you did a great job. I'm like, oh, I don't know. He's like, well, even if you did screw up a little bit, it's the best place for forgiveness.
Yes. That's a good way to say it. Well, Travis, it's great to have you in the studios here. Of course, folks recognize your voice from being on Chasm now. When did you start on Chasm?
I started on May 31st, but I know the last time I was standing on this side of the board was May 9th.
Okay.
When Randy interviewed me, actually, when I came in that first time. My first day was the 31st. It was a Wednesday night. There was a baseball game. I remember that very well. And then I was doing Wednesdays and Fridays for a while, and now I'm on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Sure.
So.
And an occasional Sunday morning.
When
Si is playing hooky. Yes, that's awesome. And we do appreciate it. Nothing but compliments and good wishes to you from folks coming up at Pioneer Days that day. Said what a great job you did. They told me I need to be worried.
Yeah. Travis, I don't know about that.
Travis is going to take your job.
I don't know about that. I really appreciate it, though, everybody giving me a chance at it.
And it's nice to know that you've got a very good fill in a person that is there, so because that 52 week schedule is pretty rigorous,
yeah.
You know, and most everybody is going to have an occasion that something comes up.
Absolutely.
That they would like to take off for, and it's nice to know there's somebody there that can fill in very
and
admirably.
Sundays keep coming.
Yes, they do. There's one in every week.
That's right.
Well, let's get to the music a little bit, Travis. How did you ever get started playing music? How old were you when you?
I was always one of those kids that'd be singing way louder than I should have been when we were going on family trips or whatever,
okay.
You know, to the radio. Music's always been a big part of my life. Everybody in my family, I mean, we're all just, even if they don't play anything, if they don't even sing, I mean, we're always listening to music in my house. When we go to family events or whatever, whether we're singing together or, there's hardly a moment when there's no song at all. And, my mom is actually the one that got me started in music back in the summer after second grade.
Okay.
She said that I had a choice between piano lessons and baseball.
Okay.
Continuing on with baseball. And I'm like, oh, no, what is everybody going to think of me if I, you know, am this, you know, little boy that goes on to piano lessons and drops a sport, you know?
Sure.
Like, but I was like, well, I've been doing baseball for 5 years or whatever. Why don't we give piano a shot or whatever? So I had a old $10 keyboard that I had in the basement, and started taking piano lessons, and that was pretty much all that I did, was just getting going on the piano. I mean, what a great instrument to start on. And I would take lessons at with our music teacher at school, and pretty soon we happened upon an ad for a couple of pianos that the Melrose High School were actually giving away. And they said, yeah, if you have a trailer and a truck and you want to come and pick up the pianos or whatever, you can just come and just take them or whatever. So we went and rolled a couple of them in the back of our the trailer and pulled it behind my dad's truck. And actually, my music teacher got one of them as well. And so we got that home, and we took a whole bunch of us, the uncles and my grandpas, and we're all getting this piano down the stairs or whatever. So we get that in the basement, and then that's what I practiced on for the next 2.5 years. I took piano for 3 years or whatever, and then so second grade, you know, then third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, well, sixth grade at Albany is when you start band.
Mm-hmm.
So then in fifth grade, we had a day where you could come out and try out instruments or whatever.
Sure.
And two of my uncles had been trumpet players on my mom's side. And then I have my godmother's actually a trumpet player as well.
Okay.
So it's kind of, I was like, well, I kind of know what my instrument probably should is going to be just through genetics or whatever. But I figured I'd give it all a shot. And actually, I got a higher score. They scored you on every instrument you played just so you could be like, well, you got the highest score on this instrument. Maybe you should go for that. And I actually got the highest score on saxophone.
Wow.
But I had a drive inside of me. I was like, no, I'm going to, you know, follow just like my family has or whatever. And so I picked the trumpet. And then my godfather had his old trumpet from when he was in high school up in the upstairs of my grandma's house or whatever. And one day we were down by the lake, and I'm like, hey, Scott, can I use your trumpet or whatever? You know, this was the first time I ever asked anybody for anything. And I'm like, well, could I, you know, just borrow that or whatever? I just want to try it out or whatever. He's like, yeah, take it. You know, that's awesome that somebody's using it or whatever. So then there I was all cheery and young and starting on trumpet. And I played that for... I've always played that. High school or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And so I was playing in the bands at school or whatever. And then after a while, our director was at that time in charge of the Albany Community Band.
Yep.
So then Mr. Johnson or whatever. So he was like, yeah, Travis, you got to, you know, he saw that I had a little bit of more of an interest than maybe some of the other kids
sure.
did or whatever, just yep. a little bit more of a spark. And he's like, yeah, you got to come and you got to play with that community band. He said, just... it's better to get out of the concert band setting every once in a while and just get with a different group. These are some older, experienced players or whatever. Why don't you come and play with them? And so I started showing up to community band practices. I mean, I'm in, you know, sixth grade. I have no idea what's going on. My mom had to bring me there,
sure.
you know, so it's you kind of show up or whatever. And I started playing trumpet. And Nathan Newman was actually playing bass guitar at that time in
okay.
the community band.
Yeah.
And I kept going to practices for that or whatever. And all of a sudden, one day, one of my friends, the drummer from our Edge of the Ledge band, he was going to those community band practices as well, too. And he kind of actually was what helped push me along a little bit more. I actually had a friend that was there.
Sure.
You know, somebody to hold my hand more than anything. But
yeah.
Then Nathan invited Carter and myself over to his house one night. Said, hey, you want to come and just jam with me or whatever? And I'm, you know, well, we're like, we grew up with classic country and classic rock. We're like, jam, yeah, you know, he's probably
yeah.
gonna, let's see what we can do. We're gonna play Wipeout for 3 hours
yeah.
and it's gonna be awesome. Little did we know that we show up and we're kind of unloading our stuff, and all of a sudden out comes a black box. We're like, okay, what's in here? And out comes the concertina.
Ah.
And we're like, okay, well, I mean, we grew up in Stearns County, we
yep.
know what it is. I grew up listening to Chasm my
whole
entire
life.
Childhood,
yeah.
and so he out pulls that, and he's got some sheet music he had written up already. He throws me a purple binder. I remember what that that looked like. It just said trumpet on it.
Yeah.
And it was just a purple binder, had some music in it, and we popped it all open, and he's kind of like, well, here's kind of, you know, this is how this one kind of goes. And I remember the very first one I ever played was the Dill Pickle Polka. The Dill Pickles. Dun, 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 dun. So I remember him just playing a little bit on the concertina, and then Carter had he's just like, just go boom cha, boom cha, boom cha, not too loud, you know, just keep doing that. Don't do anything else. And so we're all kind of lined up there or whatever, and we started playing a little bit, and then we're kind of like, well, you know, this is kind of, you know,
kinda
this,
fun,
yeah. a little hopping around or whatever. And we keep practicing that evening, and we went through whatever, a couple hours worth of songs. And we're like, okay. So then it was time to leave or whatever. And Nathan's like, well, you know, this is kind of fun. Maybe we should, you know, let's just, you know, maybe every once in a while we'll just keep, you know, playing together or whatever, sure. just a little bit. Or, and we didn't know what that meant. I mean, Nathan was whatever, 15 or 16. I could do the math, but sure. 16, I think.
Yeah.
And, so, I mean, none of us can even drive.
Yeah.
You know, so we, but we're just kind of playing together and we started just going there every once in a while. And then, pretty soon we're like, wow, you know, this is almost like a band. Like, we don't know how to define this, but yeah. we're playing together and practicing together and there's four of us, you know, yeah. it's like, we gotta, this is a band. And, I know then one of the practices we had, Nathan's like, yeah, he said, I got us signed up to play at Pioneer Days.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, well, I've been going to Pioneer Days since I was, you know, in a stroller, and yep. I don't know what happened before that, but I'm sure I was there.
Yeah.
And I remember Nathan like, yeah, we're going to play Saturday afternoon in the saloon. Well, I didn't know where the saloon was, you know, yep. and whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll show up there and play a little bit. So that day came, and we practiced up until it, and we got there and unloaded everything, and it was our time to start playing or whatever, and I remember I opened up the binder, and I looked at the first song, and it was Angeline Be Mine. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I looked over at Nathan, and I'm like, Nathan, I have no idea how this song goes. I don't remember how this song goes. Or what. And we were ready to start. Oh. Everything was ready to go, and I'm looking at him, I'm like, I have no idea how this song goes, and trumpet had to start right away. So he just kind of came over by me and played it a little bit. I'm like, oh, okay. So then we started or whatever. There I was sitting on a stool, and... So that was our first gig or whatever you want yeah, to call it. Yeah. And from there, we started playing other places. And
you wound up in the studio here at Albany one Sunday morning.
Long story short, here we are.
Yes, you wound up four of you. Yep. And that's the only time I've had a live band. Yep.
Do you remember what number show that was?
Oh,
that
golly.
Was one of the first.
I'd have
ones.
It in my book. Yeah, yeah it's a few years
I
ago.
I remember that was, I guess that was one of the first time that I was in the studio here or whatever. And I remember us setting up in here.
Yeah.
Had the drums in the back corner. I was standing over there. Yes, microphones didn't work at all. Yes. I know we talked about that before. None of the mic. I remember, oh, man. Because I have that recording somewhere in my house yet. I remember yep. you gave it yep. to us on CD. And
yep.
I remember just hearing. When we got interviewed and these microphones just weren't working. And yeah. I remember just hearing my soft little voice like, yeah, I'm in seventh grade, yeah. you know? And so here we are, but...
For the listeners, so they know what's going on, that morning, your parents all brought you
yes,
in.
Yep.
Because none of you could drive. And Nathan's dad, Bill, was standing in the doorway over there. And all of a sudden, after he said, you know, I just can't hear him. He'd go and listen to the radio out in the hallway there and just wasn't coming across. And all of a sudden, he happened to look at, trace the wire down from the microphone, and hear somebody working earlier, probably a couple of days before, had pulled the plug on the microphones. And we didn't know enough to check for that. So we plugged them in. Well, then after that, you know, the show was just about over, but at least the final part came across.
Yep,
and
yep.
So that was the end of that story.
Well, now we know.
Yes. But backing up a little bit, talk about your family. Your mom and dad are who?
Marlene and Patrick Rahmacher.
Rahmacher.
So the Rahmacher dairy is out by St. Anthony.
By St.
Anthony.
That's kind
of how we've been in. That's a century farm or whatever. And then my uncle is still out there right now.
On the farm.
My grandma and grandpa are out there, whatever. He's farming. And
okay.
I always tell him it's a notable profession.
Absolutely.
You know, he's like, oh, well, you're going on to be a mechanical engineer. I'm like, yeah, well, you run your own business. You get up every single day. Like, I have so much pride for farmers. I mean, yep.
You're in control. You are in control of your situation. Yep. Yeah.
And so then on my mom's side, she's from out by Cold Spring.
Oh, okay.
Her maiden name was Dahl.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sure my grandma and uncle are
listening
right now.
Listening in this morning. Awesome.
So she's from out by Cold Spring or whatever. And I have a twin sister.
Oh, you do?
Rachel.
Wow.
And everybody thinks, they're all like, oh, what's it like being a twin? And I'm like,
It's another sibling,
I yeah. guess. But and then I have an older brother, Darren, and then an older sister, Emily.
Okay.
So
oh, well, awesome.
That's kind of the six of us or whatever. We got three and three boys and girls, so we just kind of...
That's a family.
That's a family.
Awesome. Well, Travis, if I can ask you to stand by, we've already reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. Time to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market. You've done this a couple times
yep.
yourself. And then we'll come back and continue the conversation. Alrighty, so the St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats and award-winning sausages. Fall is here. Yes, those leaves turning those beautiful colors, which makes it such a great time of the year to go for a drive, maybe to the St. Joe Meat Market. The brat of the week this week is the smoked Bauernwurst brat, starting with a nice blend of lean pork and beef seasoned to perfection, and then smoked in our state-of-the-art smokehouses at the St. Joe Meat Market. They are seen on many of the German and Oktoberfests happening around the area. Come in this week, take 30 cents off each package all week long in limited quantities. And don't forget, October is Pork Month all month long. The St. Joe Meat Market is proud to be the featured retailer on Chasm Radio this week. Be listening all week long for your chance to win free pork products from Chasm, courtesy of the St. Joe Meat Market, as we celebrate October Pork Month. The St. Joe Meat Market with great buys on all pork items, including pork chops, pork steak, pork roast, country and Yankee ribs, spare ribs, side pork, home-rendered lard, ham, bacon, sausage. Yes, you'll find it all at the St. Joe Meat Market. Pork, the other white meat, always at the right price and so juicy and flavorful when prepared right. And cooking and hosting at the next brat sale at the St. Joe Meat Market are the St. Joe Men's Lions. You are invited to come out and roar just a bit with the Lions and enjoy a brat and a beverage this Friday and Saturday for a very reasonable fee while supporting a very worthwhile cause. As always, for more great in-store specials, like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com. Again, that's the St. Joe Meat Market thanking you for your patronage. Travis, for being our guest on the program, and you're on the other side of the fence right now, you get one of those meat packages. We happened to bring it along this morning. I already showed you it, and hope that you and the family around you enjoy it in good health. How's
Absolutely
that?
Absolutely will.
That's neat. You bet. Well, okay, so we've talked a little bit about the past, how you got started playing up with Nathan's there until you guys got through high school, and then, of course, going your own ways. And so what... Now you came up with a couple of recordings. How did the Edge of the Ledge band get going, first of all?
That's an interesting story, too. So me and the drummer, Carter Domeyer, like I said, we started band, you know, at the same time from in Albany or whatever, playing. He actually started on trumpet as well, and then we actually got after-school lessons, which at the time was pretty, I mean, you're like, oh my gosh, we have after-school lessons. You know, yeah. We don't have it during the day. We have a special time for it.
Yeah.
And so him and I and our band director would play and play, and then he had been taking drum lessons since he was in fourth grade already. So he had a drum set and stuff, which I thought was awesome.
Sure.
I was like, oh, this is so cool. So I'd go over there, and I'd just kind of play with him a little bit. It didn't really work so well because, I mean, you just have a trumpet and a drum set.
Mm-hmm.
Now when we try and recreate that, it's like, wow, you can get some really creative
sounds,
music out of that.
Yeah.
But at the time, we would just be playing like Louie Louie. I remember we played that probably a million times. Just
okay.
But so that's kind of, we would always just keep playing and we're like, well, we can't have a band with just two people, you know?
Sure.
And then with Nathan, I started teaching myself guitar.
Yeah.
One day, that's an interesting story. One day, Nathan handed me some country music.
Uh-huh.
He's like, well, if we want to be an old-time band, we got to have classic country music. And I absolutely love classic country
yes.
music. That is what I'm all about.
Yeah.
And so I was super excited, but I'm like, well, I don't know how to play guitar. You know,
yeah.
he hands me all these chords, and I'm like, I don't have anything. And my mom happened to be going garage sailing that day, and came home with an electric guitar and a little 10-watt amp
that
she found. And I'm like, this is this is every kid's dream. You know, you're 12 years old and you got an electric guitar. And I was just ecstatic.
Uh-huh.
And so I grabbed that and I had a week to teach myself all the basic chords and everything so that next time we had practice, I was ready to go.
Okay.
So I just endlessly played guitar and went through those chords and just learned some simple songs. So that's where that started. So then now, like, when Carter and I would get together, I would have guitar, whatever, well, then just rhythm and drums.
Mm-hmm.
That still doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't, just not full enough.
Incomplete, yeah.
Yep. And so we're kind of just hanging around at school a little bit. We're not really playing that much. But then all of a sudden, we found a kid in our grade that we had never heard of. I'd never even heard of him. I'm sure, I don't think Carter had ever heard of him either. He contacted us and said, he's like, yeah, he said, I hear you guys are playing a little bit. He's like, I just found a bass guitar in my dad's closet. He's like, I don't know how to play it, he said, but I mean, if you guys, you know, if you're looking for somebody to play with you, you know, I could maybe try and learn it a little bit. Well, we didn't even give him an answer, and he had already started to learn it.
Okay.
And that's Alex Miley. He's our bass player now or whatever. So that's how we first met him. I mean, we're in junior high. We have that's such a new experience. We had no idea what was going on. And so he had started playing on this headless court bass guitar. And so one day we're like, well, it was June 6th in 2013. And we were like, well, why don't we just try and get together once and see what happens? You know, if it's not going to work, it's not going to work. Let's find out now.
Yep.
And so summer just started. We all went over to Carter's house and we did the classic GarageBand setup. Put everything. We had a little mixer board, a bass amp, a little tiny guitar amp, a drum set, two guitars, and three young boys that want to have fun. Yep. And I know that a lot of people that lived around where Carter did work the night shift, so we were kind of concerned about playing on a, you know, on a summer morning.
Yeah.
So we just kept the garage door closed for a while, set everything up. We didn't even have a microphone stand. So what we did was we wrapped the cord around the shelf, and then I just, like, hung my head underneath the shelf and sang into the microphone. So it was, I mean, it was a $10 setup pretty much. But we actually had some of his neighbors end up coming over and was like, you know, you guys are just starting out. Keep it up.
Yeah.
You know, you guys, you need to make something of this. They could just tell right away that we had a drive and that we wanted to continue on with this. So, I mean, that's been one of my biggest inspirations was, like, somebody had faith in us from day one, you know, time zero. And so we set up that day, and from there, our first gig that we played for was just a private party. One of my dad's best friends just had a party or whatever out at his place out in the country by farming or whatever. So we... At that time, we were learning like 10 songs a day. We would practice for 10 hours a day.
Oh, my goodness.
And just go straight every single day in the summer. And we did that all summer long, every single day of the week.
Wow.
And we would practice for 8 to 10 hours a day. And it came to October when that gig was. And then we played for that or whatever. And we had, you know, 90 songs or whatever. And we played for 6 or 7 hours. I mean, it's the longest gig we've ever done. It was our first one. But we were just having fun, and we played the same songs probably 3 or 4 times, but everybody loved it, and everybody's like, wow, you know, you guys are going to make something out of this. So we just started buying more equipment and started going to different places, and now, you know, we've gotten decently popular in the area. You know, now we've played at Rock the Prairie for 2 years in a row, and hope to be back next year as well. And it's really grown into something. I know I usually keep track of all of our social media stuff, and that's super exciting, seeing all the people that are following us and are listening to all of our music. And I built a website for us the other couple months ago, and everybody has been loving that so far. So it's been a lot of work. That it has. It's been a lot of work. And recording a CD, that took quite a bit of time. But we actually have a music video that I created as well for one of our original songs. That's on YouTube.
Okay.
Now here we are.
That's right. Awesome. So did you have to apply, or did you ask to play at the Rock the Prairie, or did they solicit you? How did
that? The first year, we were playing out at the Lion's Den in Avon.
Okay.
Sunday afternoon. I think it was May 5th.
Uh-huh.
A Sunday afternoon. And Mr. Jason Bergman is the director of all of what happens with Rock the Prairie.
The affairs,
Yep. And he was sitting, it was just the classic setup. I mean, we've had so many of these classic moments where it's literally like everybody else, but he was sitting in the back corner table, you know, alone. He might as well have had like a long coat and a hat on, you know, just kind of sitting there listening. Yep. And Carter's dad, Brad Domeyer, came up to me and he's like, there's this guy back here that is saying something to me, I'm not really sure, saying something about you guys opening for Jody Messina. And I'm like, no. I'm like, no, Brad, you're just pulling my leg here. He's like, no, seriously, there's a guy back here. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, I didn't know if it was just a drunk or what it was, you know?
Yeah.
And so we just go back there and he says who he is. And he's like, yeah, we're trying to start up this country music program or festival.
Yep.
And we want, you know, I think we want some local talent. And I think you guys are going to fit the bill. He's like, we're having Jody Messina. There's going to be a couple other bands. He said, you guys are going to be the first ones to play on stage. He said, if you want it. And I'm like, you know, speechless at this point.
Yeah.
I'm like, how could we pass that up?
Oh, for sure.
So, we did that. And then this past year, we were just asked again because it's been, from what I've heard, a lot of people absolutely love when we are there. And I mean, we're just a bunch of young adults now that are just playing some good old music. They love hearing the old stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and we always say that we don't play anything nobody wants to hear.
There you go.
So, Yeah, we had an Enterprise article that was written about us the first year.
Sure.
There's numerous copies of that around the house.
And that's what's neat about this too. There's so many of us out there that are or were musicians and so on, and people love to see the youth keep this going because, mm-hmm. as they say, our candle is burning. It's pretty well burnt already for a lot of us. We're, you know, once you're in middle 60s, 70s, yeah, you can live on till 80 or 90. There's a lot of people living into those extended years, yep. but the amount of people still being productive and mm-hmm. playing music or going out and getting jobs, that is more for the youth. Yep. Your age on up to 50, 60, whatever, that's where you're going to see people really, you know, playing and producing and doing the real, I mean, it takes energy.
It does. And you know, I'm only 18, yep. and I already am, well, like Mass this morning, you know, yep. me and Father Edward have talked. It's like, we got to get the youth.
Yes.
And I have always been, these past couple years, I've really been in charge of a lot of things at the band program at high school when yep. I was still there. And my drive, it's like, you know, I'm only maybe 2 or 3 years older than these kids, but I want to be yep. that figure for them that gets yep. them started. It is yep. so exciting for me when I see younger kids getting involved in anything.
That's right.
I just, you know, it's like there's too many kids nowadays that just, I feel personally, don't do enough.
Exactly.
Aren't involved enough, aren't doing enough things. And when, if I can change one kid out of 300 of them,
yes.
and if I can change just one, that may, I mean, I can sleep so well at night
yes.
because it's, there's just something, because it happened to me. I've had so many people I've looked up to my entire beginning of my musical career. And I've been at it for, you know, whatever, 8 years now or 8 or 9 years. I've been doing musical stuff. And there's just something about seeing a young kid. I know there's this kid right now. I just went and played with the pep band for their homecoming.
Okay,
sure. Fest, I just came back as an alumni.
Yeah.
And there's this one trumpet player that I swear is me.
Uh-huh.
It just in a different form. And
yeah.
his energy. And he looks up to me. And I'm like, if you need anything,
yeah.
you just reach out to me. Because yeah. that is so exciting to know yeah. that I left and there's still stuff to fill the void.
Exactly.
You know, it's all just, with such a generational change happening now in technology and stuff,
yep.
when I see kids that aren't like, well, I can just make this on my computer,
oh.
you know,
yeah.
when I see kids making raw music,
yep.
and it is just, I love horrible setups for bands.
Yeah.
Just young bands that are just, I mean, it's just awful
yep.
what their setup is, but they sound good.
Yeah.
They can make stuff that, I mean, that's what we did.
Yep.
We had, like I said, we bought everything from a pawn shop
yeah.
that we started at. Or we used our dad's old equipment,
yep.
you know, and it's like making music out of that. Anybody can buy a $2,100 laptop
right.
and push the space bar and it makes music for
yeah.
you. But hey. When you make that raw stuff, I mean, like the CDs I've recorded, they're not perfect.
Sure.
They're far from it. But I love having that aspect of, you know, just being raw.
Uh-huh.
You know, for lack of better words on how to describe it. So it's so exciting to see the youth.
Neat.
I think.
Well, we've just about run out of time, Travis, but I want to get to one more, and that is all of a sudden you come up with a CD that has accordion music on
yes.
it. Where did the accordion come in?
I was interested in playing accordion ever since I started in a polka band. And then when I wasn't playing with Nathan anymore, Carter's dad had a accordion sitting on the shelf that he just happened to have. And
mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, I told Brad, I'm like, if you ever see another accordion that's, you know, reasonably priced, I'm like, let me know
sure.
so that I can try it. And it was the day of my brother's graduation. I was over at Carter's house and his dad's like, you know, I want you to have this.
Oh, really?
I want you to take this accordion and I want you to use it. He's like, you have a drive that you want to play this
uh-huh.
and you should use that, you know, use your skills to the best that you can. And I took that home. And I annoyed the heck out of everybody at home. Right before graduation, I came in, I had Carter hold the door, and I learned In Heaven There Is No Beer on the ride home.
Oh.
And I played that as I walked into the house. So that's where it started. And since then, I've gotten an accordion from my great aunt, Amor Bodoni, and that is a beautiful, that's what's on the CD or
okay.
whatever.
Okay.
And I just, oh my gosh, there's something about playing that. I know when people have seen me, they're like, it doesn't even look like you're alive anymore.
Okay.
Like you just get sucked into the bellows.
Okay.
And but I just absolutely love it. And I'm like, why don't I make a CD?
Uh-huh.
You know, why don't I just produce something for myself? And I know this first CD, the very raw one, I was just like, well, maybe a couple people might want one. You
sure.
know, my original meaning for it, my grandma was in the nursing home for a little while after she got out of the hospital. And I was like, well, why don't I record a CD so that she can listen to me while she's in there, you know, if she doesn't have anything to do for a while. So that's where it came from. And I worked endlessly to get that recorded in time so that I could get it to her. Sure. And so she has some copies, and I started giving a couple other people copies, and I started working here, like everything lined
all
up.
Fell
and
together.
And I've played it a couple of times, and then now that when you've asked me to come on, I'm like, now we should make it official. So I re-recorded it and made it all beautiful sounding. Sure. And I don't know. I'm super excited about it. I love listening to it all the time, so I hope that other people are...
So now when I've listened to it, it sounds like there's two voices in some of the songs singing.
So I've done all the vocal tracks. So I've just lined them up on top of each other. So it's
and harmonized to yourself?
Yep. Yeah,
oh, okay. So it's not another person.
No, it's
it
all
sounds
me.
Different to me. It sounds like somebody else singing, but it is you all the way through.
Yeah.
And then you play the accordion. Where does the drum and guitar sound
So the bass guitar I can actually do. It's this is all recorded at technology, I know. Mm-hmm. On my phone, when I record it into my phone, it actually I can make it so it shows the fretboard of a bass guitar, and I can touch on there and play the note. So I'm still doing it manually, but I'm just not strumming a guitar. And then the drums I also have to do manually, go through and make the entire track. So everything you hear on there
is all you.
On my voice or my hands.
Okay, so, awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, good. Well, we are just about out of time. As you look back, and I ask everybody this over their young career, but you haven't had that much chance like some guys. Any memorable moments that you can think of?
I guess one would be with Edge of the Ledge. When we were in high school which wasn't that long ago. I talked like it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But when we were in high school, we would always play for school events and that kind of stuff because, I mean, our grade... And the grades below us just loved it. You know, they were just so into us.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a talent show one time. It's called Christmas Idol. I guess it's an annual thing. It's like a talent show during Christmas time, and it's called Christmas Idol. And we played for that this past year, and it was our going away. It was like the last time we would be playing in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so we set up in the gym, and we were playing our song that we performed. And then when we were done, it's like... You know, nobody was really leaving. It's like, well, we should just keep playing, you know, turn this into something.
Yeah.
And so we kept playing and playing, and wouldn't you know it, all of a sudden, all of the kids from the bleachers came running down and just created this massive crowd on the gym floor. And they just like surrounded us, and they were all dancing and screaming and, you know, singing along and stuff. And I don't know, there was just something about when that all happened. It's actually on YouTube, there's a video of it when everybody just flooded in, and it was just so cool because I always tell people that a band is like a flashlight.
Yeah.
The band is the light bulb, and the crowd is the batteries.
Yes.
So if the crowd is more energy, the light bulb is going to be brighter. You know? So it's just there's something about having all of those people's faces that are just so into your music and that kind of stuff. So not the best story maybe, but I mean, that's one that I've watched that video how many times, and it just almost brings me to tears when I watch it because it's like, look at all these people that like cared about our music.
Oh,
you know?
That is incredibly awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great, great story. Great analogy too.
Yeah.
I mean, that is true. The flashlight, the bulb and the battery thing, that is just the way it is.
Yeah, so. It is, yeah.
Great, great analogy. Well, our time is about up, Travis, so I want to take this opportunity to thank you for coming in and joining us for our 217th edition.
Absolutely.
And I tell everybody, and this one is for sure, good Lord willing, you and I are both here down the road. We'll do this thing again sometime.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Si.
All righty. And so there he goes, Mr. Travis Rahmacher, our 217th guest here on Musicians Come and Play here on KASM. 22 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon, and we're at 64 degrees here in central Minnesota. Don't go away. We'll have music coming up by Travis himself, some of the accordion music, and we'll slip in a Edge of the Ledge tune or two as well. So don't go away.